Well, greetings everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. Independence or interdependence? It's an intriguing question, a question which was posed recently by an author in an article which was published in the Israeli paper Haaretz. He is wondering whether, when we keep the Independence Day here in the United States of America, we really understand the meaning of that day. And I'd like to quote a little bit from the article, and then I want to discuss from the Bible how we are to look at, quote-unquote, Independence Day. Here, this article was published on July the 4th, 2012, in Haaretz, saying this: "In the beginning, there was a heresy. Early in the book of Genesis, God approached Cain, the firstborn son of the first humans, and asked him, 'Where is your brother Abel?' Abel, of course, was dead. Cain had murdered him in the world's first act of mortal violence. But the murder, though horrific, was not the heresy. The heresy was Cain's response: 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?' Cain's disingenuous and disturbing question reflects an idea that our natural state is independent from and free of obligation toward others, that we are responsible to others only when we choose to accept such responsibility, and even then only as much as is dictated by our own self-interest or need. On numerous levels, this perspective is a dangerous and destructive heresy, and not one which is unique to the biblical Cain. It is widely held today in some circles, and it is what many will have in mind when they celebrate American Independence Day on July the 4th. To many Americans, independence has come to mean unlimited individual rights and no obligations toward others. Independence Day to them is a day to celebrate our liberation from having to be our fellow's keeper, our independence from others. This view of independence is un-American. It is not what the American founders at nearly every stage in the nation's inception envisioned. The Declaration of Independence asserted only the right to make a political break with Great Britain. It never advocated Americans breaking free of their obligation to each other. On the contrary, it maintains the collective responsibility of the people within the American body. The U.S. Constitution is based on the concept that we, the people, are bound together, that we are responsible to protect and defend each other, and that we are obligated to promote each other's well-being. My actions have consequences beyond my sphere of control, and similarly, the actions of others impact me. The Exodus story insists that freedom is incomplete without Torah, which means the law, the five books of Moses, a covenant that, to name but a few of the hundreds of biblical laws that obligate us to each other, demands we care for the injured, attend to those in peril, and not remain indifferent to others' suffering. Unless we see ourselves as our fellow's keepers, none of us can be truly free." And then the author concludes, "The Cain heresy is alive and well in our culture, threatening to totally devour the freedom it claims to defend. This July the 4th, as we enjoy our barbecue and fireworks, let us remember to celebrate not only our independence, but our interdependence as well." Some interesting, intriguing thoughts. Now, I don't agree with everything the author writes in the article. There are certain portions I didn't quote, because it seems to me that his underlying goal was to show that America has a duty to defend Israel against Iran, something I don't want to go into right now because that's not relevant to what I'm going to say. But the questions I want to ask are we in fact our brother's keeper? Now, let me just say, if by that we mean we are our brother's babysitter, in other words, we have to just take care of him in the way that we make decisions for him, that we push him into a certain direction, that we take away his free will, now that's not what the Bible has to say about this topic. But the Bible makes very clear that we are to look after the interests of others. In the first five books of Moses, we read that when even somebody sees the animal of his neighbor, of his friend, or of his enemy suffering, and he has opportunity to help, he's supposed to do that. Notice what we read in the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, in verses 27 to 28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. In other words, they are entitled to it in that sense, when it is in your power and in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you, and do not devise evil against your neighbor. So it gives you the aspect of certain responsibilities toward your neighbor. If you have opportunity to do good, because you kind of, in God's eyes, owe it to him, then do it. Don't delay it. Don't refuse to do it. You see, in the book of James, in the New Testament, in the second chapter, James has a lot to say about our duty to be, in that regard, our brother's keepers. Here we read, beginning in verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but doesn't have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, like what we read in the book of Proverbs, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now they tremble because they are not going to obey God. They are not going to do good to others. It goes on to say, but you do not, or do you not want to know, you foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers who sent them away in another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, and so faith without works is dead also. Again, the thought is very clearly conveyed here that we have to prove our faith in God by how we live, what good we do to others in obedience to God's law. So we clearly see that we are, in that sense, our brother's keeper. You see, in the book of Hebrews, in the 13th chapter, Paul summarizes it very, very neatly in verse 16, very shortly and succinctly. He says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So it's ultimately our responsibility to God to be our brother's keeper, to help them when they are in need. And of course we can help them in many different ways. Again, in the book of Galatians, Paul is pointing out how we can, in this day and age, be our brother's keeper. In that sense, he says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Be your brother's keeper. Keep them in the way they should go if you have opportunity. If you have a friend and you see that the friend is doing things which are against the word of God and you have a close relationship to that person, go to him and talk to him and hopefully try to show him that he is going the wrong way. Now, of course, it's still up to the friend to make a decision, but at least you have done your part in being your brother's keeper. Notice also what we read in the same book, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. It says, do not be deceived, God isn't mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Notice now the context in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Again, we see our responsibility to do good to others, in other words, to be our brother's keeper. Now, you have to add here that, as I already said at the beginning, this doesn't mean that we have to be their babysitters in the sense that we take away individual responsibility for them. I found this very interesting short excerpt of an article on the internet, and I really don't know the organization and the author who has written it, but I still felt it was quite good, and so let me just read it to you. This article says, more important than the secular welfare of others is their spiritual welfare. As Christians, our most important responsibility is to expose others to the truth. And then he quotes Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 8 to 9 from the Authorized Version, the Old King James Bible, saying this, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he doesn't turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And then he goes on to say, as Christians, we must act as spiritual watchmen. We need to declare the reality of salvation and God's future wrath upon the world. Like a watchman, we are not accountable for how others react to our declaration. Neither is it our place to be overseers and force them to believe in a certain way. However, we are responsible for sounding the trumpet and ensuring that as many people as possible are exposed to the word. Thus, we are not responsible for the choices of our fellow man, but we have responsibilities to them. That is very true. Jesus Christ told us that the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end of this present evil world will come, this present evil age. Now, it's the responsibility of the Church of God to do that preaching, to preach the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, the fact that the kingdom of God is going to be established here on earth, that Jesus Christ is going to return to rule this world and to keep people in the right way once they have learned the truth. We all, if we are going to participate in this rule under Christ, will be our brother's keepers. Let us make sure that we prepare for that event by becoming our brother's keepers now as we have opportunity. The time will come when the whole world will know the truth and will live by the truth. And let's pray to God that that time is going to come soon. Thanks very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.